Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. And this is your host, Allison, and I'm delighted you decided to join us this evening, and I'm happy to have you here. And I really have a great guest for all of us tonight. I'm pleased to welcome back Chuck Bergman to the show, so I'm just going to take a moment and tell you a little bit about him. Chuck is a third-generation psychic medium, and I think what is most unusual about my guest this evening is that he is not only that he's a psychic medium, but he's also a retired police officer. He actually spent 32 years as a police officer in Salem, Massachusetts, of all places. And since an early age, he has had the ability to communicate with those that have passed on. He has spent many years in development circles, learning meditation techniques that have helped him to fine-tune his gift. And I can say, as his personal numerologist, that there is a tremendous amount of validation in his numbers that he is indeed quite gifted. Chuck has been personally recommended by James Von Prague as a reputable psychic medium on the practitioner's page of his website, vonprague.com, which I guess is equivalent to the Betty Crocker seal of approval for psychic mediums. He recently was featured on a Biography Channel special, Psychic Search, where he worked with local police to help solve a murder mystery. The show is currently running on A&E, so, you know, make sure you check that out on your local listings. Chuck has been a featured psychic medium in numerous news articles around the country, and he is one of my favorite guests on this show, and it's time to welcome Chuck to the show. So, hey, Chuck, how are you?
Great, Allison. Thanks for having me on again. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you. One of the first things that I got to get to, though, is I got to get to an email from one of my listeners, okay? And she actually wrote, which is very, it has everything to do with what I just said. She says, I have a request during your radio shows. Sometimes you'll have a conversation with a guest and say, oh, we share the same life path, or I've done your chart and I can see that you're psychic. But you never actually say the numbers. So I spend my time guessing what you are thinking. Could you mention the numbers? One of your avid listeners, Cassie. So, Chuck, I'm going to take a minute here and expose some of your numbers. You don't mind, do you?
As long as we keep my age private, I'm okay.
No, I won't tell your age. However, that can be for a small fee, email me. No, just kidding. Okay, Chuck is a 7 expression, and that certainly is one of the numbers that holds a great deal of psychic energy. So, you know, that's one of the indicators in Chuck's chart, but also he has a lot of 3 energy in his chart, and that number is associated with clairvoyance and mediumship. So there you go, Cassie. Those are the numbers, okay? And I just couldn't go any further without answering her question, so I hope you don't mind, Chuck.
I like it. Go ahead.
Now, one of the things that I want to mention is you've got an upcoming event here in Pennsylvania. I know we're all excited, so I hope you don't mind. I'm going to tell everybody, all right? May 22nd, Doylestown, PA. So if you live in the New Jersey, the Philly area, southeastern Pennsylvania, you can actually come and see Chuck. He's being sponsored by Susan Duvall Seminars, and we love our Susan Duvall. She's absolutely wonderful. And this is May 22nd. Are you doing the gallery on May 22nd?
The gallery on the 22nd, and I believe private sessions the 23rd.
Oh, and so if somebody wants to book a private session with you, they can do that all day on the 23rd. Wonderful. So if you're interested in seeing Chuck do a gallery event, which I am, I've got my ticket. I'm coming to see you. Anyhow, okay. And I'm very excited. I've never seen you in gallery, so I'm just really excited about that. But anyone can call Susan at 215-348-5755 or check out her website, which is SusanDuvallSeminars.com, and that's May 22nd and May 23rd. So coming to Pennsylvania, Yay. You've been here before, right?
I think this will be my third visit. I was supposed to be there in February, I believe it was, or early March, and it got canceled because of a snowstorm. So we thought we'd be safe and bump it into May. Now I don't have to worry about the bad weather.
Yeah, we did have a lovely snowstorm. Yeah, because I was actually looking forward to you coming then. I had tickets, and I got pushed off to May. And you didn't miss nothing. It was horrible. It was just horrible. The winds were ridiculous. You would, being from Florida, you would have just, I don't know, you would have died. So glad you didn't come. And but we got May coming up, and so that makes me excited. Let me ask you, Chuck, you've been a medium, practicing medium. You've been in development circles. You've taken classes. And, you know, when I was checking out Susan and you're doing a gallery event, but have you ever thought yourself personally of teaching psychic mediumship classes?
Funny you'd bring up the conversation. I had two friends over yesterday who are very much involved in stuff in the Jacksonville area, and we discussed that for about an hour and a half, that either in the area that I'm in, Middleburg, or perhaps even Jacksonville, starting a weekly group. People need this, you know, and I hate to say it's still secretive around here, but it is.
Uh-huh. Well, I was just wondering, because I think that would be really a nice thing to bring up this way, too, you know, like, you know, actually travel around and teach classes, because I'd love to attend one of those myself. And so I'm kind of glad that you're starting to consider that.
Microphone's more sensitive than I thought. One thing that I've had happen to me more than once now, I've had people come to me for a meditation who have never contacted spirit before, and on three separate occasions, I've taken them into a meditation, and they've connected where they've been able to see and even feel touch from their loved ones.
Really?
So I would love to get together a group, you know, knowing what I know now, and put a group together, and there's nothing like a development circle to watch everyone every week gain a little more knowledge. It's really worth living. I love watching that. It's incredible to watch.
Well, I think I'd like to see you teach it, so that's why I was asking. I had something bizarre happen this afternoon, and, you know, like I got up, I get up ridiculously early. I mean, I don't know why, I just do. And so usually on my radio show night, I try to slip into bed somewhere around 1 or 2 and catch an hour of sleep so that I've got some energy for the show. And I was not asleep. I was just laying there going, God, am I going to go to sleep or not? And, of course, I have two dogs, and they were both, like, flat, laid out, sound asleep on my husband's side of the bed. And I kept feeling someone or something moving the blankets. I almost felt like somebody pulled the blanket a little bit down, but also around my feet. Like, felt like somebody was moving around my feet. And it's like call 1-900. Who can I call and ask about that? I was like, you know, it didn't freak me out. I was just, and see, what I purposely did is I turned towards the dogs, repositioned myself, because I figured, man, if I feel that again, at least I can open my eyes and see if they're making any movement, which could maybe cause that sensation. They were not moving at all, and it happened 4 or 5 times. So see, we need you to explain this stuff.
It's funny how I seem to be moving more toward the metaphysical stuff now, too. I don't know why, but it seems like I just received a DVD Saturday from a lady I gave a reading to on Thursday. Her husband, who was a retired officer, police officer, would not come through during her reading, but we had a lovely chat for about an hour and a half. At the end of our session, her ceiling fan was on, with the light was on, and it started pulsing. Well, as she's describing this to me, she's telling me about a blue light coming out of the lens, and I guess I'm very, not skeptical, but I'm rather scientific with stuff. So I started asking her, what color is the lens? And she says it's white. The bulbs inside were 2 that were clear, and there's no reason for it to give blue light. Now, she's seeing the blue light with the naked eye, and it's pulsing on and off with the fan light.
Yeah.
So anyway, I convinced her to take out her camcorder and start recording it for me. and it is the most unusual documentation that I've ever seen.
Wow. Well, you know, I would say skeptical. I'm scientific. I approach things very scientific. So that's why when I was feeling it, I was thinking maybe the dogs were rustling around a little. So that's why, you know, I felt it three times, and at one point it just felt like something was pulling down the cover. So then I flipped over. I didn't get freaked out. I just flipped over, and I thought, okay, now I can keep an eye on those dogs, by God. And when I feel it, then I know the difference between them making a movement and causing it than me. So I'm kind of like you. I'm a little scientific about it. And then I came to the conclusion the dogs weren't doing anything, and yet I had that sensation at my feet. So I thought it was really interesting. I mean, I guess I would probably document it if I had time. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to walk on you like that. There might be a little delay here that I'm not aware of on Skype. Maybe that would be a nice thing for tonight's show is tell people when these things are happening, like I convinced the lady, take out a camcorder and start recording it. And she gave me almost 15 minutes worth of video on this. And at first I wasn't too sure if I was impressed or not, but the more I kept watching it, I couldn't believe how this was happening. But I think more people should start pulling out the camcorders, have them ready, and don't have a dead battery on it. Have a full battery. Have it ready to go so when these things happen, right, we can get it on video.
Well, I think more and more people are having this experience, at least from the people that I talk to with readings. Plus I did, you know, my own psychic development workshop. And, you know, and part of the reason why I did the workshop was so many people are kind of a little bit apprehensive about how suddenly these things are starting to happen to them personally, and what does it mean, and why is it happening more often? And I think it's a sign of the times, personally. I think that this is becoming, you know, the more that people open up their minds and accept the possibilities of such things happening, the more these things happen. So, you know, I do think that, you know, it's like with all the cameras that we have, you know, our cell phones, our, camcorders, our digitals, you know, there should be a lot of, you know, just take the time to catch some evidence, I think. Kind of interesting. So, yeah, teach a workshop. I definitely would be interested in that. Let me ask you something. Do you yourself go through, like, let's say you're getting ready to do a reading. I mean, do you have any particular practice that you go through prior to doing a reading?
No, I
do not. You just answer the phone?
I'm kind of laughing because the other night, I don't want to say what I was doing, but I went outside. I was in the hot tub and actually having a little beverage. And probably about 15 minutes into having the beverage, I'm going, wait a minute, is this Thursday night? I'm going, you know, I think it is. I'm supposed to be giving a reading right now, and I was like 30 minutes late on a reading. But it was kind of amazing to me to go from that environment, go in, dry off, go over to the phone, pick it up, dial the number, and hope that the person's not disappointed in me. But we had a beautiful reading. It went very well.
And so you don't go through any meditations or any rituals or anything. You just pick up the phone. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's pretty much me. That's what I do. Allison. It's kind of odd, but, and I do that. I mean, I guess I think about spirit communication all the time, and some people are going to find this one strange, but many of my dreams I have, in the dream, I'm being reassured that I can communicate with people that have passed on. So that topic will come up probably four or five times a week
really?
In my own dreams. Yeah, and I find it kind of strange.
Do you need a lot of convincing?
Well, you know what it is? You'd think by now I would even be okay with it and say, yeah, it's true. But even in the dreams, it's like it's being reaffirmed.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. Let's say, this is another question, because it always fascinates me how mediums and psychics do what they do. So let's say the client walks into your office and they're sitting there and they're there for a reading. So what happens? I mean, like, do you feel differently? Do you begin to see? Do you hear? What exactly happens when you start a reading, and how does the information come to you?
I'd have to say, for me, I'm always a little nervous at first, and the nervousness would only be about the concept that maybe nothing will come in for this person.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be disappointing to them, and certainly for me too.
Sure.
And I will say, with the number of readings I do, there's probably about maybe three unsuccessful readings per year, which isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's because the person's very, very skeptical, and no matter what I give them, they're going to say no to it.
Right.
It's almost like they're afraid to say yes. they book a reading, you know, they wait for the schedule, we do it, and I don't know what it is, but they'll argue no matter what you give them. They'll argue on every topic, and the more I argue, the less I want to do the reading. I want to get in and have fun. I want to get in and give messages and you know, see what their loved one was all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes when you hit that brick wall, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's, you know, sometimes, you know, even doing numerology, when you're trying to impart information to someone, and it's so hysterical to me. Like one time I was explaining to a woman that she had some energy around her. You know, one of her numbers spoke of, you know, money, power, success, material things coming into her life, and she absolutely didn't resonate to it. And so then about 5 minutes later in the conversation, I was talking about some difficult circumstances that I saw in her chart at this particular moment in her life. And she says, oh, my God, yes, I just lost $150,000 in the stock market. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I don't know about you, but I don't have $150,000 in the stock market. And yet 5 minutes ago you were telling me that you didn't see yourself as having material wealth flow to you. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So usually whenever they have a tendency to balk at something, usually they end up validating it at some point in the reading where you take them back and say, remember when I said this? Remember when you didn't resonate to it? Well, you know, did you hear what you just said? Because you just validated it, you know? So I always find that really amusing. Especially, you know, cause I mean, if you lost $150,000, you gotta figure, what did you have in it, you know? Not many people have that. That would mean that money flowed to you in some way. Wouldn't you think, Chuck?
That's a lot of money. If I lost that, I wouldn't be, I'd be pretty sad for quite a while.
Okay. Well, I got a few more questions here. I mean, I do want to reassure our listening audience that we are going to open up the lines and take your calls and probably here in just a few minutes. But I did want to kind of talk to Chuck about a few things first. So what I want to do is I do want to give the toll-free numbers. You can call toll-free at 888-815-9756. You can always call in direct at 530-327-7602. 530-413-4522, and also 530-776-5185, okay? And if you didn't get those numbers, if you didn't write them down, you are welcome to go right to the front page of BBS and look for the numbers for Station 1, and they're right there at BBS.com, BBSradio.com. I also want to remind our readers Chuck's website, which is Chuck Bergman. com, and Bergman is spelled B-E-R-G-M-A-N. So while you're listening to the show, by all means, hop on over there and check out his website. There's some testimonials there. I read a couple of articles and a couple of newspapers that people wrote about you. So, you know, I was checking it out today, and so I encourage everybody to hop on over there. And you currently have appointments available right now.
I do. I have openings, in fact, as early as this week.
Wow. Well, that's good news. So, you know, because usually you usually have quite a waiting list, right?
It goes up and down, but I'm a hard worker. It seems like when I have off time and I can get to that, people that were scheduled out, say, a month or so, mm-hmm. I'll bring them in and do them much earlier, and believe me, no one complains.
Right. No, I'm sure they don't. That's kind of amazing, and that you've got some appointments available. So, you know, kind of letting everybody know that, too, that you can actually contact Chuck and get a reading right soon. And, you know, people, I think sometimes when people, I really feel that readings are kind of like in the moment sort of a thing, you know, they kind of want them when they want them in that moment, you know. So that's kind of nice that you can fit people in sooner rather than make them wait. So that's a good thing. Next question. You know, I still, it cracks me up every time knowing that you spent 32 years as a police officer in Salem, Massachusetts. I mean, Salem of all places. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry, that's a little ironic, don't you think?
I wonder I was born in Florida, and this is where I ended up after retirement, but you got to wonder, was there a life plan that put me in Salem, Massachusetts, of all places, you know.
Have you ever had a past life regression to find out what the connection is?
You know, I did, and it was that was a strange thing, too. I was on patrol one day in the downtown area in Salem, and I met two ladies who had asked me for directions to get to a certain place, and they had a British accent. So I started talking to them, and they were in America celebrating because they had just published a book on past life regression.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, this is an opportunity, and they were staying at the local hotel. So when I got off duty, we'd made arrangements for me to go to the room, and I did a past life regression with what I thought were two women who had written a book. And I thought, they must be qualified if they've written a book. I went in, and it was intriguing. I learned a lot of stuff, but nothing had to do with mediumship, nothing about Salem. In fact, I was a storekeeper in a past life, according to what had come through.
That's interesting. The only experience that I ever had with past life was almost, because oftentimes people, they want to have some really wondrous connection to some past life, And, for me, I'm not all that interested. I'm having a hard enough time living this life. I don't know if I really care what the hell I did in the past life, but that's the way I felt. But, one time this, psychic connected to me and she says, "Oh God, I see you." And she said, "I see you in a lab coat. I see you with, all this lab equipment, and I see your hair up in a bun." And she was just going on and on. And she alluded to the fact that in a past life that I was Madame Curie, which, for me, I don't need a title. I don't need no fancy spancy being anything in a past life. But it really freaked me out. It kind of freaked me out because the way that I started numerology was being fascinated with biographies. And one of my favorite biographies was Madame Curie's. And oddly enough, I still had the book from my childhood. And I read it when I was a kid. And the other weird thing that really struck me odd was all my entire life, I've been deathly afraid of x-rays. And of course, Madame Curie died from radiation poisoning. And so anytime anybody ever wanted to x-ray me, I just basically freaked out. I had to, and there was a whole bunch of other synchronicities. And then just recently I was reading an astrology book and they were talking about the placement of, I think Saturn in a certain house. And they said, and I actually had my chart and I was making comparisons as I was reading the book. And where the house was placed, it was placed the exact placement for Madame Curie, and that's exactly where my house was. So at that point, I just totally got freaked out. It just kind of cracked me up because I don't know nothing about no past lives, but God knows, I just can't see myself, studying things, physics like that. I mean, that would just give me the biggest headache. So I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, it sounds like you're reading a chapter from Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Brian Weiss.
Yeah.
I got to admit, mine was rather mundane. I was a storekeeper. The only parallel I did see with what I was being called my past life and my present life is being a storekeeper and keeping all the merchandise on the shelf nice and neat. The house I lived in Salem, in the basement area, we had the racks with all the food that you get. I think it was called Hill's Food Service at the time, but they deliver like every second or third month. And I loved stocking the shelves. That way, if we ever had a power outage, snowstorm, or any of that stuff, it was like I had my own little store in the basement. But I didn't know if it was the current time playing into the past life regression or the other way around. I couldn't really tell.
Right. Well, it's like with numerology, I think what really kind of, what I found was really interesting was if you know Madame Curie's life, her husband was killed. He was run over by a carriage on the street. But she carried on with his work, and at some point, about the time that she won the Nobel Peace Prize, it came to light that she was having an affair with one of the people that, one of her lab technicians or one of the people that were working with her. And it almost destroyed her career because at those times that was not accepted whatsoever. It was very, very risque. And so karmically, when you compare numerology, my husband is a geologist, so he is a scientist. And numerology is a pseudoscience, and really you kind of approach it like a scientist. And if you compare our charts, basically, it's basically saying that him and I had an affair in a past life, so it's really kind of, it actually gets even more bizarre, so I just thought it was pretty interesting. So So, but I think it's kind of cute the way that you had your own little shop down in your basement.
Yeah.
Oh, strangers.
I will say this, too. During the session, I recall that I remember my name was Mike Sullivan. I came from Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut, a place I've never – I've driven through Hartford on Route 95 to go from Boston to Florida, but I've never spent time in New Haven.
Uh-huh.
So it was just odd how as soon as they would ask me a question, it was like in my real life now, you can ask me a question about this life, and it's on the tip of your tongue. It was the same way when I did this regression. So what I really wish I'd taken the time to go back and do a little research and find out if all that were accurate.
Yeah, I think that would have been the first thing that I would have done is done some research. I know one time I had a dream, and I saw a woman's name in the headlines, and she was murdered, and it was in a dream. So for me, whenever I see something in a dream where something is actually written out in words, usually that's a signal to me that there's something about that particular dream that takes it beyond normal. And so when I woke up, I went to my computer and I actually typed in her name. And don't you know, it pulled up a website and they actually, it was, what the paper looked like is it looked like it was tan. It was parchment more than it was a regular newspaper. And it was telling the story of this woman who actually had that name. And she was murdered by her husband. She was pregnant at the time. And boy, that was another one of those dreams that kind of went, oh boy.
Wow.
You're like, oh, thanks for that. Appreciate that. But it was really, honestly, it's kind of bizarre to pull it up on a Google search and actually look at the actual newspaper that I saw in my dream. It was very bizarre. Okay. Well, let's get back to you. I want to talk about, you know, your career as a police officer. I got sidetracked and I'm sorry about that. How has being a police officer for the most part of your life influenced your career as a psychic medium? I mean, what's the, you know, the influence of one on the other?
Probably the best way to word it is when I first discovered, I really discovered I had the ability as a child, then it went away, as it does with most children. Then later, when I was probably in my early 30s, days I remember well, it came back. I mean, I'd be riding around in a police car, and all of a sudden I would start getting images or hear, or I'd receive information on things that were going to happen or were happening at the moment. Then the deeper I started digging and started going to classes for mediumship, meditation, and things like this, everything just started unfolding for me. But I still had to keep somewhat of a a separation between police work and mediumship.
Mm-hmm.
If I got little pieces of information to help me with a case, I would certainly research it and trust it, but I knew I wasn't allowed to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think, and this is just me drawing conclusions, but I would think that having a career as a police officer that you know, you see things that the average person doesn't see. And I would think that as a medium, especially when people, you know, perhaps people that have crossed over show you how they died or maybe the circumstances of their death, I would think that somehow that would make it easier for you to view that sort of thing without it being creating, you know, maybe some difficult emotions.
Allison, very good point, because I've talked to people that I know have abilities that are really strong, and they tell me they're afraid of this stuff. When I first started the police department, I worked on a police ambulance, so obviously I would see a lot of trauma and have to talk to families that have lost loved ones and you know, in that capacity. Then I moved on and started doing accident reconstruction work, which, you know, if there was a fatal accident, I'd be called in and actually put the pieces back together to figure out what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to be able to express that when you got to court, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So as the career progressed, it was almost setting the stage for me to develop a hardness, if you will, to the fact that when I give a reading, I can't take on the emotions of either the spirit or the people that I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing. That's very tough.
Mm-hmm. But I think it would help to prepare you, you know, to do the readings without, because I would think that about the time that you would get emotional, I know myself that, you know, I always call myself, I don't know if you ever saw Down and Out in Beverly Hills, but where Bette Midler starts running around the pool screaming, call 911. I mean, normally, if something really traumatic happens, you don't even want me around. I'm useless. I'm usually so emotional at that point that I'm a basket case. So I would think that someone that has psychic ability and perhaps sees some difficult, you know, visions or dreams or when they connect to a loved one and see something, I would think that that's a positive thing to be able to detach from your emotions and maybe be more objective about the information that you're receiving without letting it affect you. So I think, you know, that's how I kind of see it.
Yeah, and when I was filming the show Psychic Search, Biography, actually A&E had set it up first. The show went on Biography and then migrated back to A&E. Mm-hmm. The morning of the shoot, though, the very first day of the shoot, at home, in bed, sound asleep, nervous about the next morning, have no idea what kind of a case they're going to put me on. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, almost like on the show Ghost Whisperer, I had a ghost standing next to my bed. It was a male. And I don't know why I woke up. I don't know if he woke me up or I just sensed his presence in the room. The amazing part is if you look at that as a test, when I opened my eyes and I saw him in the room, I didn't panic. I don't know why. I didn't panic. And yet here's a guy standing there. And I live in this house alone.
Uh-huh.
So I don't expect anyone to be standing next to my bed for the morning, unless it's someone I had over for the evening, you know. But in this case, I looked at him, and I don't know why. I just knew he was from the other side. His clothing was wet. And for those of you who got to see the show, he had gray clay and gray mud going down the back of his head and the back of his body.
Uh-huh.
And all he said is, "My name is Terry, and I'm here to help you in the morning."
Wow.
So I kind of said, "Thank you." And that was the extent of our conversation.
Wow.
So it was kind of odd when they put me in front of the family and said, "We're not going to tell you if Terry's either on the other side or missing. We don't even know for sure." And I knew because I knew what I saw that morning at 4 a.m. And
right.
I knew it wasn't a dream. There's a distinct difference between a dream and something like this happening.
Yeah, I agree. And for those of you that didn't watch the program, I saw it, and I thought you were pretty darn amazing in it. And definitely you came out with information, you know, very pertinent to the case. And it was very impressive. It was really an impressive show. Now, is that still running periodically, or what's the deal with that show?
At the moment, they're still running it. I think they've run it like 8 times this year or alone.
Uh-huh.
But it's the same half-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is they're negotiating now to hopefully come up with a TV series and have me go around the country and work on some more up-to-date cases.
Right. And I would think, I don't know, playing devil's advocate, but, you know, if you have unsolved police investigations, who better to come in and you know, do the investigation on the spiritual side as far as being a psychic medium than yourself being a retired police officer. I mean, because you've worked with police officers, you know the code, more or less. You know the procedure. It just seems to me it would be a brilliant show. The fact that, you know, you're a retired police officer and in a different capacity doing the work, to me it's a no-brainer.
I found that even when we were off camera, the camaraderie between myself and the two detectives that were in the show was obvious, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think if I were a guy that were a shoe salesman or something and also a psychic medium and got dropped into that situation, they're not going to open up like they did to me. You know, it's like I speak their language.
Sure.
And usually, you know, they're asking me questions about what it was like on the department I was on and what were raises like and, you know, different things like that. So
there's a
partnership going on, I think, that helps. And then when I get into the mediumship part, it's not like I'm trying to do their job. I'm trying to help them with their job.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I just think it's a no-brainer. I think it's a really cool combination for a premise for a show, and I'd like to see you do more. And, you know, as I said, and nobody knows this, you know, all of our listeners, but, you know, I watched the show. My granddaughter and my daughter were visiting me at the time, and we recorded it at night because it was on a little bit too late for us, and so we watched it in the morning with our Cheerios, okay? And Madison was 7 years old, and 7 or 8, she was watching it, And she colored you a picture, and so it was kind of, you know, kind of cute that you got your first fan mail from my granddaughter, because she thought you were pretty awesome on the show. So, you know, and that kind of, you know, and what's really nice about that is, you know, kids, you know, back in the days when we were younger, and I'm not divulging my age, but I'm ancient, but anyhow, back in the days, you know, things used to happen to me all the time, and there was no resources to go to. There was no television programs, for God's sake. Books, there wasn't the internet to do research. There was just you thinking, what the heck was that? Or, you know, being afraid of it, or whatever the case might be. And I think the beautiful thing that, as Madison watched that, and it was like totally cool. You know, that's cool. Like, it's a fact, Jack. You know, it's like, it's the way it is. This guy can see dead people. That's cool. And off she went to play. And I think that's really a nice thing to present to our youth, you know, that this is not something that remains hidden, or this is not something that's odd or weird. This is something that people do, just like the guy that, you know, builds buildings and the dancers and the architects in the world. This is a normal thing for people. And it's kind of nice to present that to the children in the form of a program, you know, so... You know, I was kind of proud of her, so. Yeah. Are you still with me, dear?
I'm here, yes. And I got to thank your daughter again. That I've got that up on my refrigerator, the little thing that she drew of me for it.
Right.
And I've got a 5-year-old son, and it's funny to hear his perspective. I took him with me the night that we had the premiere at our local steakhouse. They had all the monitors on and a lot of my friends up there.
Yeah.
And his only comment is when it went to commercial break, that they had a Geico commercial, his favorite commercial. So that meant more to him than seeing Daddy on TV. So it was kind of cute to see his reaction to it.
That's his perspective.
From him watching it, for the following 2 weeks, he started calling me Chuck instead of Dad.
Oh, dear.
So finally I said, why are you calling me that? And he said, oh, that's what they call you on Psychic Search. So it was cute.
Oh, that's cute. Listen, Chuck, I know that I heard a beep, which means we have a caller. So I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to check in, and I'm going to see who's calling, please. So who's calling?
Hi, this is Noreen.
Can you say your name again, dear?
It's Noreen.
Hi, Noreen. How are you?
I'm good.
And I'm assuming that you're
calling.
Go ahead.
I was hoping to get a little reading from Chuck. That's what it said in my email that was going to be on the show tonight.
Sure.
I've been sitting here and taking in all that you've been talking about and just kind of chuckling to myself about things kind of similar with me and just really kind of coasting with you here tonight.
All right, well... Well, I'm going to turn you over to Chuck, and I'll let him do his thing with you. Okay, Chuck?
Okay.
Hi, Noreen. Noreen, where are you located?
I'm in Albany, New York State.
Is this the Noreen? I'm sorry, what?
I said, does that ring any bells?
It does. I would not be able to give Noreen a reading, and I'm going to just say this publicly, because Noreen had traveled from New York all the way to Salem. She drove and had a reading at my home and then drove all the way back. She was one of the first ones, one of the very first ones when I was posted on the James Van Prague website. But also the person that Noreen would like to come in, I'm going to brag for a moment, and I knew nothing about him. It was so well known and was a significant other for Noreen, has been profiled on 60 Minutes. So it was a real pleasure to meet him this way through a reading, and there was plenty that came through. And I really would be reluctant to give one now, but I will say you're one of my favorite people to give readings to, Noreen, and I think you know that.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to check in because I never have had the timing right to where I could hear or listen or watch one of the shows that you do. So I thought this would be a great time. It just kind of slipped in there. So
And see, isn't it kept light? And it also makes it so people who are interested in this stuff, we've all got a common ground here. We can all talk about this and feel okay about it. I know some people around me have no idea what I do. And when I bring up the topic, I think it frightens them. So I think it's great when like people get together like this and we can discuss what's going on.
Yep. I agree too. Well, Noreen, thanks for calling into the show. Thanks for listening.
It was nice talking.
Okay. Noreen, I got to ask you one quick question. Noreen?
Sure. Yeah.
I know about your daughter because that's come through in other readings. Why is she in a real windy area? Do you know what that's all about? Has she been in a very windy environment?
No idea. Which
How about yourself? How about yourself?
No.
Very, 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 very windy. If that happens to come to fruition, let me know. Send me an email or something. I know I'm getting this, and it's our friend up there giving this. He's putting a hat on your head for some reason. I don't know what that's representing. Are you going to be leaving? Okay. Are you going to be packing up or something? Are you getting ready to move?
I sure hope so.
All right.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, I don't want to give away our friend, so I'd like to keep that a little more private. But I'll hook up with you again soon, okay?
I just loved hearing you talk and just kind of hanging out with you.
It's great, isn't it? I love it too, Noreen.
Okay, well, I'll keep in touch and take care, y'all.
Thanks for calling in, Noreen. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Very nice lady. I couldn't believe that when she solo drove all the way from New York to Boston, which was probably close to an eight-hour drive, had her reading, and then got in her car and drove all the way back home.
Wow.
I thought, that's a lady that really wants a reading. So. and we kept in touch over the years. In fact, there was one more quick thing about Noreen. She called me I called her one night on a Sunday night. Everything I gave her during a reading, none of it made any sense to her at all. Mm-hmm. And when I exited the office area in my home, I found out that someone family connected to me had passed away that afternoon, and they were overriding my reading on the phone. So Noreen was kind enough that I rescheduled with her, and then she got her reading a week later. But it was kind of fascinating that everything, no matter what I said, she kept saying no to it. And I found out who was really coming through was pretty much a family member.
Ah, I'm sure that happens. Listen, Chuck, we do have another caller, and we don't have all that much time, so I kind of want to give the caller a chance. So who's calling, please? Hello? Do we have a caller?
Hello?
Hi, speak up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Who's this?
It's Frances calling. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Frances. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I really enjoy your show. I've been listening on and off.
Thank you.
I think you're a wonderful person. I had a quick reading with you a while back, and I'm just wondering if it's possible to get a reading with Chuck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to turn you over to Chuck.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hi, Frances. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Great. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Toronto.
Oh, okay. That might explain. When I heard your voice, I saw vacant land next to you. Does that make sense to you? Has a building been knocked down or a house removed? Or is there vacant land?
Yes, it totally does. It's an empty lot that they're planning on building on. They haven't...
Okay, and I feel like this is a male energy bringing this in. Is it dad or grandfather that might be in spirit for you?
I have a grandfather who has passed a while back. Is it someone more recent?
I can't really tell, but I know he's talking about having issues in the leg. I feel very poor circulation in the legs, and he's literally showing me the veins in his legs. Can you relate to that?
Is it someone who's still around right now?
No, this would definitely be on the other side.
On the other side. He has issues, or it would be referring to me?
Well, Is it you? Are you having circulation issues with the veins in the legs or the arteries in the legs?
Not with my veins, but I think I injured myself and my leg is really sore right now. I don't know if it's...
We'll just write on it for a moment. The way I like to work, if I get a little stuck like this, I ask you, who were you hoping would come in? Like, let me know, but don't give me a name and how they died or anything. Just like mom, dad, sister, brother, something like that.
Okay.
So who... Go ahead.
So you want me to tell you who I would like to have come in?
Yes.
Or
in
not,
a case
sorry,
like this,
how much
you... Okay, go ahead. Who?
Sorry, how much information am I supposed to provide to you?
Just
say like mom,
just
dad,
mom, dad,
sister.
Sister, brother.
It's no one in my family, actually. It's it would be my godfather.
Okay. And what is his first name? Because I'm not getting anything yet, but sometimes when we cooperate with them, they'll give me enough that you're going to know that it is him coming in.
Victor.
Victor. Is there a P name associated with all this? P like in Penny?
Not that I'm aware of. Someone on
okay.
the side or on them?
I'm getting the letter P being shown to me very prominently. And what name did you give me? Because I think we talked over each other.
Victor.
Victor, okay. Okay, just hold on, Francis. I'm going to just see if I can get Victor to come in. He's talking about not being with you as much as he would like. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay, because it's just his way of starting off conversation. Usually I'll take anything I can take. He's spelling out the month of January. What's important about January?
That I'm not aware. That I don't know. Maybe his birthday, possibly.
Because I do want to put it around him. I was waiting to see what you said, but as I waited for a moment, he gave me that spark. I don't know what I'm supposed to say with this. He talked about a spark. Can you relate to a spark? And I don't know if that's at the end of his life. Why would a spark be important? I'm still seeing this like a flash. What's up with a flash? A spark or
know.
A flash?
I don't know. I was not very, very close to him, so I'm not sure that I can verify a lot of this information.
I'm still getting a flash around him. Would I want to talk about flash bulbs maybe or camera work around him? That would work for me. I don't know what the spark or the flash is that he's talking about.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay, these kind of readings, usually people that come to me for readings, it's like usually someone like really, really close, and they do have a lot of answers. But
is there anyone that you can actually take this information to, Francis, and maybe get it validated?
I could.
Okay.
It was just that he had just it's his anniversary of the passing just recently, so that's why I suggested him. But I'm actually open to anyone that comes through. I don't want to say, like, specify who I want to come through because I know it doesn't always work that way.
Right.
Yeah,
but
no,
I would take what information Chuck gave you regarding your godfather, Victor, and just see if you can get some of it validated.
I got one more thing coming up. I don't know if this is from Victor or a new one on the other side. They're talking about, I feel like they lived their life in a pub. Because I'm smelling the beer, I'm smelling the cigarettes, and I took him in a pub.
That does not make sense at all to anyone that I know.
Wow. Okay, that is coming in very, very vivid for me. So, and I'm sure Allison can tell you, sometimes during a reading, things like this will come out.
Well, not only that, but you've got two people on the line, Chuck, you know, and so... I'm just kind of laughing at that one.
is this fitting someone around you, Allison? That
yeah, that would be somebody that fits
this,
me.
This happens a lot too because I call it opportunity. If spirits got the opportunity to come through and nothing's happening, they come through. But yeah,
right.
This guy's I almost feel like he's in an O'Leary or a Murphy or because I feel like he loved his drink.
Yeah, well, that would pretty much, yeah, I can relate to that. So
okay.
That's why I'm thinking that maybe, because you have two people on the line, maybe you're pulling in something for me, so.
I've had that. In fact, I'll say it quickly, when James Van Praagh gave me my first reading over the phone, nothing fit, nothing at all, And it turned out that one of the female police officers I worked with, all 45 items that James Van Praagh gave to me were her dad. And we didn't find out till the next day. And it was a good thing I'd recorded it, because she wouldn't have believed it otherwise.
Right, right.
So, wow. Yeah.
Okay, so beyond the fact that maybe you connected to someone for me, I would suggest, Francis, for you, that you would take what Chuck said about Victor and maybe find out from someone, like the January date, the flash, and if you have injured your leg, I mean, Chuck pretty much, you know, talked about the leg, but see if you can find out and then maybe email Chuck if you can get any validation. Okay.
And I got one more thing for Francis. Okay. Are you into music? Because I'm getting like upper level music, musical notes, writing music, stuff like that.
I used to play a lot of music. I don't anymore.
Okay. But even that would, if that's what his remembrance of you, then it would come in that way.
Okay. That would make sense. Yes.
Okay, and I'm sorry I can't give you much more, but if you don't know him that well, it would be a very tough reading, especially with other people kind of waiting to get on.
Right, yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for calling. And Francis, if you do get validation, give Chuck an email, okay? You can get
his.
All right, thank you, dear. Well, listen, Chuck, as much as I hate to say it, we can't take another caller because we've only got about 1 minute left on the show. So, you know, hey, time flies when you're having fun, right?
It sure does. Looks like I'm going to have to come back again.
Hey, you're always welcome on the show. I mean, I love having you. And I do, and you know, one of the things I love most about you was, I know you don't remember one reading to the next, but you did a reading. I know I'm going to sound like a dork, but I had Chuck do a reading, when my dog passed, and you were just brilliant in that reading. I mean, to this day, I can remember all the things that you said that were just complete and total validation for what was a very difficult time in my life, you know, and I really appreciate you for that reading, so thanks for that. And I just want to let everybody know again that Chuck's website is www.chuckbergman.com, and that's spelled B-E-R-G. man.com. I also want to remind everybody that he has an upcoming seminar in the Doylestown area, which if you're in New Jersey, Philly, or southeastern PA, on May 22nd, May 23rd, you can get a hold of Susan Duvall at susandevallseminars.com. And you're going to be doing gallery on the 22nd and private sessions on the 23rd. And if anyone's interested in a private reading, Chuck's schedule is a little bit open at the time, so you might be able to get in sooner than later. So that's a pretty wonderful thing for a guy that's in quite a bit of demand. So, Chuck, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you, chit-chat with you, and I love you, man.
Love you, too, and I've certainly enjoyed it, Allison. And, you know, we're going to meet for dinner in about a month.
Right, I'm looking forward to it. All right, sweetie.
Me too.
All right, everyone. Well, we'll be back again next week, and I think we have Sharon Blumenthal on the show. She's really a wonderful channel, so you really want to check out that show, and that's next week. So, Chuck, you have a wonderful evening, and I'll talk to you soon, and good night, everyone. Abundant blessings.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.